Good morning, DJ and PK. It's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. It is good to be back, and I'm loving every minute of it. Thank you, Kramer. All right, we're back, baby. They had to clean the arena, give it the deep cleanse, and now they've done that, and we have returned. We have returned to talk sports. I know, you think there's not a lot of sports. No, there isn't. And you know, we all know 30-day shutdowns, the NBA, Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball, kind of looking at about a month. And then the CDC came out and said, how about no gatherings of 50 people over the next 2 months? Well, that's going to hit Major League Baseball right where it lives, because you got 25 guys in each roster. By the time you get to the umpires, you're over. Never mind the manager and the coaches. So it looks like a longer delay. We'll see officially how the leagues all react today, but Jack Nicklaus was right, I think, when he said we're not going to have a Masters this year. And now 60 days, now all of a sudden we're looking at the PGA Championship. And, you know, in a lot of sports, probably not in golf, but in a lot of sports, you know, will baseball need a mini spring training before they start? Are they going to end up playing half a season or a quarter of a season? I think all these leagues do whatever they can to protect the playoffs. And if baseball, you know, can't play for most of the summer and has to come up with some crazy 32. Well, they don't have 32 teams. They got 30. But some crazy playoff scheme and let everybody in. I mean, whatever it takes to have playoffs. That's where the money is. And the NBA is going to hold on and push back to June or July or August. And people say, what about the Olympics? How's that going to happen? A lot of the qualifiers, haven't happened yet. How are they going to hold qualifiers and hold the Olympics? It just looks like the Tokyo Olympics are probably a no-go. That's one less thing for the NBA to negotiate as they try to squeeze in the playoffs. And we'll see if they can do it. Maybe they can't, but there's no reason to give up on them now. You know, you just keep kicking the can down the road 2 or 4 weeks at a time. You follow the advice of experts, but you don't kill the playoffs unless you have to, because that's where most of the money is. And these are all businesses. So if there's a way to squeeze the playoffs in, then squeeze the playoffs in. You know, if they can't finish the regular season, I think most teams are between 64 and 67 games. Can they come back and maybe get everybody to, 70 games or something like that? Everybody plays 3 to 6 games, kind of a mini preseason for the teams, and then go into the playoffs. Maybe they have a 7 versus 10 or an 8 versus 9 series. Certainly the race for 8 and 9 is close. Maybe they cook something like that up and do some special format for any burst that might be in doubt, create a couple more playoff games and try to recoup some of the money, because everybody's going to be taking a hit. But it's good to be back. I guess the team, the league that will get all the exposure now is the NFL, because the new year is starting, so it's free agency this week. The draft's in April. They're not going to Las Vegas for the draft. I think the draft's kind of deal where you can do a virtual event. You know, they'll have to figure this out, social distancing. I mean, we've all had it drilled into us here. Stay more than 6 feet apart. There ought to be a way to figure that out if you're the NFL. You'd have the only show in town, and people would go crazy for it. And if it has to go slower and last 7 days, so what? None of your TV partners have any programming. Whatever. At this point, ESPN's wide open. 30 for 30s and basketball love stories, and the Golf Channel's rerunning Faraday and a bunch of documentaries they've done on Arnold Palmer and Ben Hogan and Tiger Woods. So, yeah, if I'm the NFL, between the NFL Network and ESPN and, let's face it, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, everybody, please, please give us an hour of the draft. We'll take it. So, all right, well, we got all morning and the rest of the week to figure all this stuff out and to talk about the sports stories and talk about all our emotions and maybe just screw around a little bit. Who knows? We are scheduled, I can tell you this, we are scheduled to talk with Lieutenant Governor Spencer J. Cox, supposed to join us at 8:30. He's a huge sports fan. He tweets about sports. We can talk to him in light of everything that's going on, kind of get a sports fix on it, plus just, you know, the latest news, what we're all supposed to be doing, and kind of his idea on where this is going and how we can help minimize it, because it's no fun. It sucks. People are losing money. People are getting sick, and apparently a lot of people are going to die. So anything we can do to make this a little better, let's do it. We can't make it good, but maybe we can make it a little better, I guess. All right, so spring football is one of the things where the can has been kicked down the road a little bit. The Pac-12 ended all spring competition and then said, well, maybe we'll do spring football at the end of the month. Now the new stuff from the CDC, you know, how will they do that with assistant coaches and coaches? It's over 100 people. Do you bring the players out in groups of 11 and put them through stuff? I don't know. We may see the Pac-12 here today or next week say, forget about spring football. But as of last week, they were kind of trying to leave the door open, and I think a lot of schools were. We're going to go to spring football. You hear from Kalani Sitake, his last media availability, and also James Empey. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
Take the Zone with you wherever you go.
Let's go.
Download the all-new Zone Sports Network app on your phone and get live streaming of the Zone as well as podcast editions of every show. From Salt Lake to Shanghai, Provo to Portugal, or Ogden to Oslo, wherever you go, we'll tag along.
Let's go.
Download the new Zone app by searching Zone Sports Network wherever you shop for apps. It's the Zone Sports Network app from 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Good morning, DJ and PK. It's 97.5 at 1280 The Zone. The arena's gone through a deep clean. They've had several days to do that. The whole thing was shut down Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And now we're back. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Spring football. Thought we were going to have some quarterback battles there and stuff to talk about, but very limited. Some teams able to get a few practices in, a week or two, maybe, depending on your spring break falls. Except a few schools did start way earlier, and maybe they got most of it in. We can kind of run through that. BYU, here's James Empey after the Cougars' last availability, because it doesn't look like they're going to be having any spring football. Here's James Empey.
What have you learned about yourself this spring? So far after the first week, it's been good. I feel like everybody's kind of meshing together. Unit-wise, I feel like we're meshing together. We're trying to get better at things that, we didn't do so well last season, trying to take the next step as a unit and as an offense and as a team, really, in general. We are just trying to correct our flaws and be the best we can be and use this spring to really get better. And take advantage of every minute of it. So far, just learning about the team. We've got a lot of fight, and everybody is competitive and wants to get better and has a lot of drive. So I'd say that's what I've learned so far.
Last year, you guys are a very talented group. Last year, there was a lot of hype, a lot of momentum going into the season. And to some, they felt like you didn't meet that expectation. Did you guys feel that at all? And did you guys kind of feel that there was some accuracy in that assumption?
Yeah, nobody knows better than us, right? Where we have our goals and the things that we want to achieve, and we fall short of them. That's rough, you know. And the good thing about it is we got the guys in our room to really build on it and take the positives from last year, because there's lots of positives. I mean, we had an okay season where we were able to learn and grow and get better, and we got the guys in. I feel like we got the guys right now that can take the good and take the bad and build on both, you know what I mean? And so, nobody knows better than us, and we're just trying to take those next steps forward right now and take advantage of every opportunity so that in the fall we can put it all together.
Who's impressed you from your vantage point through the first week and a day?
All together or?
Individually. Any individual stick
like
out to you?
Unit-wise, offense, O-line, okay. Man, I'll tell you what, we got guys, man. And it's nice to have Tree back. Tree's healthy, and playing well at a high level. Brady is he's killing it, playing at a really high level. We got guys like Clark Barrington and Channon Herring and Blake Freeland and those guys that are really stepping in and being positive. And Kiefer's healthy again, so we're just having all these guys back. And I'd say everybody, it's just been great to have everybody back and healthy and ready to go. And like I said before, we all got a long ways to go, and we're not nearly close to where we need to be yet, but I feel like we've got the guys to do it.
Coach said that he felt like at times the other team was tougher, out physical you guys last year. What's it like when your coach says that or brings it up? Because he says he brings it up quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Mateos, he's good. Coach Grimes is good. They're good at pointing out the ugly truths and holding you to the standards and goals that you've set for yourself and for your unit. And so, I mean, that every great coach does that. They help it keep you to what you say you're going to do, helps keep you to your goals and the things you want to accomplish. And sometimes it's recognizing those ugly truths. And at times last year, we didn't play up to where we needed to be. But like I was saying, I think the guys in our room are taking it one day at a time and striving to build on everything and not drinking the poison. So
poison, man.
Not drinking the poison, man.
Don't drink the poison. How does one block technique-wise Kyra Stoller?
With a lot of – you got to be scrappy if you're going to block Kyra's because Kyra's – man, Kyra's – if anybody has ever experienced blocking him, they know that he's just a really strong dude. He kind of goes where he wants, and so – to block that guy, you got to be a little scrappy, and you got to fight your butt off every snap, and things like that. Things like a great D line, players like Kyra Tonga, and all those guys that you go up against every day. That's the stuff that makes you better. So, just I'm super grateful to have him on my team because that means I don't have to block him in games, and he makes me better in practice. So,
how much better do you think you've become because you're going against him on a daily basis? Now, there's not that many guys that you get to face that are like that, so it's kind of unique, but how much does he really make you better?
Yeah, guys like him and Zoe and Bracken and Nysa, all those guys, they are competitive and they work super hard, and all the guys on the front seven of the defense and the secondary that do a great job going against guys that are competitive and playing really hard, that makes you a lot better. So I feel like any chance you get to go up against one of those guys, even if it's not your favorite thing to do, it's going to make you better. And so having a great defense, like I said, is something that you get better. I don't know how better to gauge yourself on that, but I know we do get better by playing guys that play at a really high level.
You and Brady have received a ton of accolades, and I know you don't want to drink any poison here.
Yeah, no poison, man.
No poison. I don't want to hear no poison. But that being said, very talented, and you both have goals of playing at the next level. Is it a possibility that you guys could make it to the NFL even after next year? Is that something that you've pondered?
You know, everybody's dream is to go play in the NFL, and so if somebody says that that's not their dream, they're lying to you. And without drinking the poison, I just think we got to take every day during the spring to get better, and then every day in the summer to get better and stronger, and then every day in fall camp to get better, and then every day in the season. So I guess only time will tell, but we have a ton of work to do up until then.
Last off season, I don't know if you were able to maximize your off season like you wanted to in the weight room, etc. Maybe a little dinged up, right? And so this off season, how do you feel, and do you feel like you can really maximize what you're looking to accomplish, like in the strength and conditioning room?
Yeah, I feel healthy. I know a lot of the guys are getting back to being healthy. We still got a couple guys that are dinged up, but like I said, Keith and Tree are back and healthy, and so just like unit wise and offense wise, I feel like maximizing our off-season time is going to be critical. Maximizing the spring time is going to be critical, especially how we have such a great strength staff and a great nutrition staff and training staff, and they're finding different creative ways for us to get better and stronger, and using the research to help us along the path. I feel like we have all the resources we need, and we'll be able to accomplish that goal of getting better this off-season.
How often do you talk tech with your pops?
Often, yeah. That's what's fun about it, you know. I mean, I can call him. I'll call him and it's funny because growing up, he'll talk football. And I don't get what he's talking about, and he's keeping it simple for me. But now I'm learning a little bit more every day, and I'll call him. I'll be like, "Dude, guess what I learned?" And he's like, "I've been trying to tell you that this whole time, you know,
10 years."
But it's good, man, and he's doing well, so that's good.
Coach said that he wanted the offensive line to be the leaders of the team by the end of spring. That was one of his goals. What do you guys have to do that? Because you guys are on a team filled with leaders and, you know, a lot of guys that kind of have taken on those roles. What do you feel like you have to do to
make that? I feel like you just got to bring it every day in practice. And if we're paving the way, other guys are going to follow. There's some guys in the unit that are a little bit more vocal than others, but everybody grinds, you know, and everybody works really hard. So if we can take a next step and work even harder and play harder and faster and bring others along with us, I think that we can accomplish what Coach has in mind.
There's the Cougars, James Empey. Now here's the head coach, Kalani Sitake.
Good practice today, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And After five practices, I feel really, really excited about what we got going. We always have some guys that got banged up a little bit, but they'll be okay. They'll all heal up, and we'll keep rolling with it. So I see a lot of progress, a lot of great competition, and looking forward to keeping it rolling.
There's been talk about guys entering the transfer portal here in spring. Mm-hmm. What's that like, just as far as, you know, having guys make those decisions here at this point?
Yeah, I think that was, it's kind of hard to, like, even talk about it specifically, just being respectful of the players. But the portal's there for a reason, and it's always going to be full, you know. So there's a variety of reasons why someone would enter the portal. And but I think from where we're at, it's a positive thing for me to speak to them and help them out, and so support them. And anyone that wants to go there, I think the most important thing for them is want to play football. And I'm excited to help anybody out. That everyone that's left here and gone in the portal, it's always been a positive conversation with me.
We've talked about it before, and just in the sense of, like, trying to convince them to stay versus, you know, if they don't want to be here, that you want to help them find a good spot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a balance that I imagine you have to strike as a head coach, to depending on circumstances and things like that.
And also, if they're making the best decision, you know, is it an emotional decision? Does it need more time? I think it's important for me to advise them in the right thing and kind of take a step back and hear them out a little bit as well. But if they don't want to be here, then it's not going to work. But it doesn't mean that it has to be a negative thing. It means that I care about them, and if I care about them, then I'd like to see them have success somewhere else, and that's important to me and as a person. But I think it's important for those guys and the relationships that we have with them. And if I tell these guys I care about them and I love them, then I think that never stops.
Did Devin give you a reason that you can share with us?
No, I don't think it'd be really appropriate for me to get to talk about him specifically. But there's always a variety of reasons, you know. But I think I'm going to respect him and allow him to share that if that's what he wants. But I think for us and what we want to accomplish, there's a lot of guys that want to be here, and they want to represent BYU, and I'm okay with it. And I'm also okay with guys that don't want to be here. So we'll work with the guys that want to be here and want to help us win.
In terms of you guys trying to find prospects in the portal, are you guys still looking, or is that closed for this?
Oh, you're always interested, you know, but I don't know if there's it's a crazy effort to look and to make that like a plan. You know, it's not like we go in it with a number that this is what we want to sign with a graduate transfers. I believe that the fit is the most important part, and it's got to fit in the numbers and also fit in the scheme and with our needs as well.
What percentage of guys roughly have entered the transfer portal and then came back? Because some of the guys have come back that have entered the transfer portal for you.
I don't know. I can't think of all the numbers, but yeah, there's guys that have come back, and there's guys that have are walking on, you know, as a result of it. And I warned them of the options and the possible results. You know, so that's just part of the deal. But before making the final decision, I think it's important that they know what's all out there and the possible outcomes. And I try to educate them as much as possible in it.
You mentioned that, you know, guys have gotten banged up maybe a little bit here early on. Anything significant, or is it just the normal bumps and bumps and bruises you expect after practice?
Yeah, probably just bumps and bruises, and nothing too. I don't think there's anything that's too severe. But I think also there's a lot of guys that have tons of experience that I don't know how much more. Like a Troy Warner comes to mind. He's having a great spring, but I don't know how much more he really needs. Other than just the polishing up part. But there's other guys that need to compete as well, but Troy's come out here competing like he wants to win a starting spot, and I think we've got to have a great balance between all of it, them getting as good as they can and working on their craft and their assignments, but also getting them to the fall camp and trying to get them there. I think it's important, especially guys that have already proven themselves on the field.
Are you happy with your playmakers and your depth at receiver, or do you feel like you might need a little boost?
No, I'm happy with the guys that are there. Yeah, I feel really good about them. The receiving position specifically, Gunner is a great one, you know, and Dax. And so we just lost three seniors that had tons of experience there, but it gives them opportunities, and they're the ones making all the plays now. And I feel good about the guys that are new to the position, the guys that are still, progressing and developing, and then there's going to be some new guys that we bring in with recruiting that we've already signed. So I feel comfortable with it, and I feel really more comfortable with the O-line and the quarterback that can throw the ball. So I feel like they just need their opportunities, and they'll make it work.
On that note, how has Neil improved his game in the year that he was just practicing?
Yeah, I think I talked about it last week. I think the competition's made it really good for him, and that he's taken advantage of it. And whether he wanted to or not, you know, he was going against our number one guys, and I think it's made him better. So we'll see, you know, when we get to the live stuff. But I think he's a guy that's been on the field quite a bit, and I don't think it's going to be all that brand new to him.
I know Tyler Allgeier is going to play running back.
Was that?
Is it decided that Tyler Allgeier is going to be?
Yeah, he's running back full time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, he didn't play any defense today, but he's going to be running back. I think the guys that we have in that group is going to be a really talented group. You know, so I feel comfortable with him being there full time. And I feel good about the linebackers.
Pro Day's a couple weeks off still, but how many conversations do you have on average weekly with NFL personnel?
Almost daily. You know, they want to know about our guys and about opponents as well, you know, so I give them as much feedback as I can and honest feedback and you know, try to promote our guys as much as I can, but also be honest about the evaluations I have on others.
You mentioned Troy Warner. Any other standouts from looking back at the first week of spring ball?
He comes to mind because he's been away. Guys like him and Chris, I think they're just already proven guys, but I think he's stepped it up a lot in terms of his game. And so I'm just really excited about him, you know. But the others, I feel like we have a lot of experience coming back now in a lot of different positions. And even some of like receivers, those guys have played a lot of games. You know, I talk about Dax and Gunner, you know, and guys that can play there. Keanu can play there too. And so I feel like there's just some guys that haven't had as much opportunities as others, but I think this is going to be the moment for them. But really, for the most part, we have a pretty veteran group of the guys that are coming back.
One of your most experienced groups is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. What's your expectation for them this offseason?
Oh, they know. We have super high expectations for them, and I think that our whole team, you know, we need to push them to get better. And the urgency has got to be there, and that's what we're focusing on, getting them better, every one of them, and also competing. You've got a lot of guys competing for, you know, the guys that have started competing for five spots. And so it's going to be interesting. It's been fun already for the first five practices. Looking forward to seeing them continue it on. But I see them getting better. And then we've had some new faces that are kind of, you know, we're welcoming Kiefer back and Mo Unatoa's in the mix too, and then Tristan's been hurt for a little bit, so now he's back. And I mean, there's a lot of guys that have played a lot of games and a lot of experience, so it's going to be fun.
Do you think their strength is pass pro right now, or in the run blocking with their body types?
Everything has to be their strength. It all has to be great for them. They have to be able to run block and pass pro and lead and do all that stuff, and it starts up front. So I expect a lot from that group.
About the development of the defensive line, as long as we're talking trenches, it's going
to
both sides.
They're coming along really well. I think going against a talented offensive line is going to help them, but you know, Kyrus is leading the way with them there, and there's some guys that can't participate in spring, and Devin was one that wasn't going to play spring at all anyways, but Lopa's hanging around, and then given opportunities for others to really start to flourish. Zach Dahl, I'm just waiting for him to really emerge and become a big-time player that we think he can be, and there's a lot of guys, I know I'm forgetting about a bunch of people there, but it's a lot of talent there and guys that are just waiting for their moment.
We saw him in the Pee Wee Man white jersey make the switch.
Yeah, he's DN now, yeah.
Was that switch made last week? Or when?
Yeah, you know, he's really strong. We have a talented group at tight end. He's a strong guy. He's in, as far as numbers, he's one of our strongest guys in the weight room. And when he played here as a true freshman, it was more of an athletic tight end target. And now we think that he's starting to fill out and start getting really big, and I'd like to use that on the defensive side. He had some really good plays today, and so he's really smart, loves the game, and could give us a boost there at the end.
How close are you to getting a running backs coach hired?
Closer than I was last week. The process, it's like, you know, I think we feel really good about how it's going. Harvey's done an amazing job with the group so far, and so we're going through all the entire process that best way to say it is that, yeah, we're close.
What are the qualities you look for in a running backs coach?
I think number one is basically being able to adapt to their players and loving them and teaching them. I think the teaching part is the game of football has changed a little bit in the way, the methodology and how guys learn. And so I think it's important that we stay up to date on everything. There's enough research out there that shows us that this group learns differently than I did when I was their age. And so staying on top of the times is important. So being able to adapt and change your ways and change the message, I think, is important. And then just having that connection with the players. I think that it's important to be, you know, I think it's important to be honest because that's how they grow. But I think it's important to love your players because that's the connection. If you don't have a connection, then it's hard for them to even learn from you and trust you. So someone that fits that criteria really is really important to me.
All right, there's the last word on spring practice from Kalani Sitake from his final media availability. It looks like spring football is all done with the CDC coming out and saying no gatherings of 50 people recommended now for the next 60 days. So kind of tough for football to do that. Maybe they could bring the ones out versus the ones, and then the twos versus the twos, and then the three versus three. I don't know if that'll work or not, or if it's worth it. It just seems like the windows are getting tighter, and it's getting less possible to do stuff, and just got to follow the best advice at the time, and that might be no spring football. All right, got to take a break. Coming up, the BYU basketball team. Well, major disappointment. You know, it looked like they had a good chance to go to the Sweet 16. How would that have played out? We'll never know now. But their head coach is coming up next, Mark Pope. Stay with us.
Take the Zone with you wherever you go.
Let's go.
Download the all-new Zone Sports Network app on your phone and get live streaming of the Zone as well as podcast editions of every show. From Salt Lake to Shanghai, Provo to Portugal, or Ogden to Oslo, wherever you go, we'll tag along.
Let's go.
Download the new Zone app by searching Zone Sports Network wherever you shop for apps. It's the Zone Sports Network app from 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Good morning, DJ and PK. It's 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. BYU basketball coach Mark Pope talking about the end of the season. It ends way too quickly, way too suddenly for a lot of seniors, including the seven seniors on BYU's roster and three guys who are leading the team. Here's Mark Pope on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.
Hey, Coach Pope, this is Julie Jagg from the Salt Lake Tribune. Thanks for doing this conference call. I really appreciate it. My question is, with all, I just would like to get your initial thoughts, I guess, on the craziness that has gone down, especially with the NCAA tournament. Oh, is that somebody else jumping in? And then also, I was curious as to your thoughts as to, especially, I guess, whether you would have preferred they postponed the tournament or if you thought that was, you know, a viable option.
Yep. So I think it's been, you know, really dynamic and really unpredictable for everybody involved. Especially over the last 4 to 8 hours. You know, I think the toughest thing for me is just our locker room was really, really hard today. And as you can imagine, and maybe even more so. So, you know, I think most of my thoughts are with my guys right now. This is really hard. It's devastating for them. It's especially my seniors who have, I mean, it's been well chronicled what they have sacrificed and how long they've been working towards this and fighting for this and how much of a beating they've taken over the last 4 and 5 years. And then to do everything humanly possible to earn it and have earned it in an extraordinary way. And, you know, be playing so incredibly well, winning 9 out of 10 and being ranked 14th in the country and net top 10 and even in our one loss the last 10 games, had the best defensive performance that we've maybe ever had here at BYU, right? They're kind of peaking at the right time. And it's excruciating for those guys and it's hard for us. So that's our experience right now. If I could control everything in the world, we would find somebody to have this tournament just because, you know, my heart's just broken for these kids. We were all in a We were in a team meeting together before practice today when the news broke, and so we broke the news to the team, and it was the worst locker room I've ever been in, and it was really hard. So a tough day. But these guys are extraordinary young men, and they got incredibly bright futures in all different ways, and so we'll move on to that.
Mark, this is Mitch Harper with KSL Sports. I'm curious, Mark Few from Gonzaga said he was expecting the tournament to be postponed. Were you kind of expecting that as well, that there was going to be a postponement rather than a cancellation?
Well, listen, I'm not a I'm not an expert on the spread of disease. I'm certainly not an expert on COVID-19. If it was at all possible to have this tournament safely or to postpone it with the potential of having it safely, I think there's nobody in the world that wouldn't be in support of that. But apparently the experts are saying that that's not possible or tenable. I'm not sure. I'm not really educated enough to speak on that. I just know my guys right now.
And to that point, how shocking is it that we're at this point? I mean, because in Vegas, it felt like at the WCC tournament, this was lightly discussed. I mean, it really wasn't much of a talking point.
Yeah, it sure does seem the whole world turn upside down in about 24 hours, doesn't it? It just is the speed that things can change and gain momentum is pretty extraordinary. I think it's sobering for all of us.
So Coach, this is Norma. Just wondering, I guess, what do you think that people are going to now take away from this season? It looked for a moment like there was just so much potential. This team could have accomplished so much in the NCAA tournament, but now they have their chances cut short and we'll never know what would have been. So I guess just what's the big takeaway from this season?
Well, I mean, I think a lot about, how this team functions and how we mentor these young men and the leadership they show. And we're gifted with two things. One, we're gifted with such an extraordinary season that these guys put together up until this point. You think about the storybook moments that we had in the season. They've all been well chronicled. We've shared them all together. We've talked about them all. It feels like there's been more incredible stories. It seems like a decade's worth of extraordinary stories in terms of drama with roster and dealing with injuries and game winning heroics and incredible streaks and career long stories and sagas of redemption and coming back. I mean, the stories are just endless. So, we actually made this comment. I think we talked about this in the press conference, maybe before the Pepperdine game or before the tournament, maybe just that, you could write a book and not have enough pages to kind of contain all the extraordinary stories of this team. And while it is, in a basketball sense and for this team and this locker room, it's really tragic that they don't have a chance to finish it. Their legacy here at BYU is intact. I hope that everybody that's been able to witness this group of young men sacrifice for each other and do the special things that they've done, I just know they will. I know BYU fans. I know that they'll remember these young men in terms of the impact they've had on the relationship they built with fans this year and the extraordinary accomplishments and things they performed. I mean, so it's, on the one hand, it just is just so devastating that they don't get a chance to, it's hard for this group because they have all come back to do this, to get to this tournament and to go make something extraordinary happen. And they've taken the long road. I mean, they've taken a 4 and 5 year journey through disappointment and frustration to finally get here. And and that part is just it's just hard. But you know, in terms of the young men that the young people that these are and who they are, I mean, we've all been really blessed to witness it.
I guess, are you and maybe your wife going to do anything special for the seniors, I guess, or for the whole team, just to sort of been like, hey, sorry, we didn't realize this was the end, but this is the end, and just sort of go out with a bang?
Well, I do know that we're going to spend a lot of time together because that's the way that this team is built. So we heard the news. There was a locker room full of tears and shock and utter silence, actually, for as long as I've probably been in silence. And then an hour later, I got a bunch of guys on the court working out, and I'm in the office with the staff, almost in a self-preservation way, racing through lists of things that we have to accomplish in the next few days, and that is what this team is built on. And so, you know, we'll lose ourselves in our work together. And these seniors have a ton of work to do, and our underclassmen have a ton of work to do, and as a staff, we have a ton of work to do, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So we'll continue to share that together, and we won't have that many more times where this unit is together as a group. Just regrettably, I mean, I think we talked about it a lot towards the end of the season, just about like it just can't end. Like, it's too special, right? This group is too close. They care about each other too much. It's too fun to compete for each other. And then it came to such a screeching, abrupt, halting end. Like, the reality that we don't get to compete on the floor again is just it's almost too much to take right now. But in terms of the relationships we have, we'll be coaching these guys for the next 50 years. I mean, these seniors will be coaching for the next 50 years as long as they'll allow us, right? We'll be an intimate part of their lives, and that's the way we do it. And they're going to be a crucial part of what BYU basketball is, and that is not changing. We take that really seriously, and we built a foundation in our relationship with them that'll continue. So I don't know, Norma. That's a long answer to the deal, but
Mark, what should the NCAA do for seniors on these winter teams in regards to maybe their eligibility? I mean, do you feel like they should get an opportunity to maybe get another year back?
Well, you know, clearly, I have to be careful with the way I say things. I do think that there's been some momentum in the last few hours from all different corners, because I think there's other programs that are feeling the same thing that we are. We're certainly in uncharted territory. The NCAA has never had to deal with a pandemic before. This team is, you know, I'll tell you, I will tell you this, you want a little one-liner. I believe this is true. There was nothing that could stop this team this year. It wasn't suspensions or injuries or a coaching change or a roster overhaul or adversity or tough losses or incredibly difficult schedule. The one thing that stopped this team this year was a pandemic, right? I do believe this group was so committed, there was nothing that was going to be able to stop them besides something otherworldly. I do suspect that I have a large group of seniors on this team that have fought so hard for this, and they still got a boatload of fight in them. And if the NCAA, saw fit to grant them another shot at this, which seems, potentially like it's the only just or fair thing to do, then I think we'd have some guys that would be really, really, really excited about that.
You mentioned the work continues for you and your staff. I mean, eventually, have you guys made any decisions among you and your staff in regards to travel for recruiting coming up in the spring and things like that? Are you guys just going to stay in Provo?
Well, we're looking for clarification on that. The NABC put out a request, I think they're trying to get the NCAA to block all recruiting travel and on campus visits. If that happens, then clearly we're going to abide by those rules. Recruiting is really, really important. And we spend a lot of time doing it. And if it turns out that we have to do it by coming up with some ridiculously absurd and creative ways to do video conferences, then we'll do it better than anybody else in the country. And we'll find a way to do it. If we have access to travel and face to face and bringing people on campus, we'll do that. So, you know, recruiting is all about exploring every potential avenue you have to build a relationship with these young men and get to know them and for the two parties to see if it's a fit. And so we are pretty relentless doing that.
Coach Bo?
Yes.
Greg Rubel here.
Yeah, Greg.
So when you look back on 2019-20 and your first year at BYU, what ultimately are you going to take with you either in your heart or in your head moving forward that you'll always think of when you think of this year?
Well, I mean, that's easy. It's not even close. Like, I love these young men. It's an extraordinary thing when it's an extraordinary and humbling thing when they're willing to give you their trust. And that is it's a real gift as a coach that you rarely it's the building blocks and foundations of a group that can be really special. And these guys are unbelievably generous to each other and willing to fight for each other, and they've been unbelievably generous to us as a staff. It just has happened way too fast. Like, we're supposed to have some more time to evaluate everything and soak it in and figure it out. And we'll be able to do that in the coming weeks. But that's no doubt. If there's one thing that's extraordinary about these teams, is just the love that we feel for each other, between these players and each other, and certainly me as a coach and these players.
All right.
Hey, Darno.
Hey, I just wonder, as a coach, you and your staff, that you spend a lot of time talking to your kids and giving them advice and motivating them. What could you say to them at this moment when you had a chance to talk to them? What did you say to try to help them process this and figure out what they want to do?
Yeah, Darno, I wish I was a smarter person. I didn't have a lot of great words for them. It was just awful, because we sat in a silent locker room just with some tears for what was way too long. And ultimately, I stumbled around with a few things. It was not the right time for me to give them some speech about, hard things happen and you overcome. That was not the right time. That will come. Those speeches are going to come because we are going to work hard. We worked hard this afternoon. We're going to work hard later tonight. We're going to start working hard again tomorrow morning. That doesn't need to be a speech. Really, at the end of the day, the only thing I share with those guys, kind of through all of our tears, is just how much I love them and how grateful I am that I got to, they allowed me to be a part of this experience that they've,
that they've had, and that, you know, I didn't have any wiser words for them than that.
Do you know what the NCAA is going to decide on how much you can practice? But how is all that going to be monitored now? I think there's anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody's in a place where we're just not familiar. You know, usually these things are laid out, but this is, you know, it's all been so dynamic and happened so fast. I don't think the NCAA thought they were going to, I don't think 12 hours ago they thought they were going to be where they are right now. So I don't know that we've got any direction on that. You know, normally, you know, we're allowed to kind of be with our guys during this championship season. And you know, if I assume we'll get some guidance on that, some feedback on that. You know, I do know that there's some, you know, that, you know, so we'll look for, I expect that we're going to get some direction on that soon.
There's Mark Pope. With the Cougar season all done and no NCAA tournament, there have been some mock brackets thrown out there. The NCAA is not going to do a bracket, but there's some mock brackets and, you know, computer estimates of what would have happened. Play the game 10,000 times, do the simulation. We can get to all that coming up. DJ and PK, what is trending? All the headlines next. Stay with us.